I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus this morning. That's where we're going to start at least. While you're turning there, I want to say how much that I appreciate you. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I want you to know just how thankful I am to be your pastor. Somebody put this in the newspaper this week. Pastor Matt, thank you for showing us it is our mission to take the message to others. Thank you. That's really encouraging to me. I have many friends in pastoral ministry who cannot say what I say quite regularly. It's a joy to be your pastor. This year, I'm especially thankful for how you loved on me and my family through my illness, surgery, and recovery this summer. Thank you for your understanding and patience with me when I was sick, and for your prayers for me when I was going under the knife, and for your patience and your generosity to me when I needed time to recover. I'm really thankful for the elders of our church who basically told me to stay home and get some rest and to not return to work for several more weeks than I would have done, and for arranging the guest speakers and holding down the fort in every way during those extra recuperation weeks as well. That was a big gift to our family, and we thank you. I'd also like to request prayer, as Keith said, for Heather and my time away this week. We are headed to the CCEF National Conference in Virginia Beach. We're leaving on Wednesday. This is the group of people who produce great resources like those booklets we have on the free resource table in the foyer and resources like the Changing Hearts, Changing Lives class that we've offered here before. The executive director of this group is David Powlison, and the conference this year is centered around this new book by Ed Welch called Side by Side, Walking with Others in Wisdom and Love. Your interns had to read it I assigned it to your interns to read this last summer for their internship. It's really good. I recommend it highly. Our friends, Pastor Dan and Jen Ledford, are going down with us on Wednesday. We did this before in 2012 when Heather was so sick and she lost her voice. You remember that year? Well, this conference has been very refreshing to us in the past, and we hope it's refreshing again. But what's really different about the conference this year, as Keith said, is that I'm going to be speaking at it. You may have seen these brochures out in the foyer for this event sitting out on the table. And what's really weird is that when you open the front, there's this picture that Shenley took of me for the cover of my book. And you'll never guess what I'm speaking on. Well, okay, you know already. My talk is called Behind the Back, When Gossip Disrupts Side-by-Side Ministry. See what I just did there? Behind the back, side-by-side. Yeah. Would you pray for me this week? As you can hear, I've got a cold coming on. I'm not feeling well. It was like this morning it descended on me. And I'm just thinking next Saturday, last time we went to the conference, Heather didn't have a voice. Maybe this time we go to the conference and I don't have a voice. Would you pray for me? I will be honest, I'm a little nervous about it. As Keith said, there are 1,700 people registered for the conference. I'm speaking in one of three breakout sessions on Saturday afternoon at 1:45. So pray for me Saturday afternoon, 1:45. If, you know, just a third of the people come, I'll have more than 500 people at my breakout session. I'm not saying they all will. We often skip breakout sessions. When you don't have to go, you often don't. But pray for me. And thank you for giving us the time off to take part in this event. We really appreciate it. It is a joy to be your pastor. Now let's talk about work. Our series that we're doing this fall is called Working for the Lord, and it's all about our vocations, our daily labors, our jobs. Last week we talked about working hard, about diligence instead of laziness and industriousness instead of idleness. We learned about that slacker guy from the book of Proverbs called the sluggard and how we don't want to be that guy. But now this week we want to talk about a surprising companion to hard work in the Bible. And it's a four-letter word. Work can be a four-letter word, right? But so is this word. Work and rest. Work and rest. I said last week that some of you will need this week's sermon more than last week's sermon, though you might not know it or admit it. Those who tend towards the slacker side will love the sound of this week's message. Yes, rest, finally. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest. But those who are workaholics or have tender consciences might struggle with this word, rest. That's me. I struggle with rest. I'm not very good at it. I admit it this morning. This summer, I ended up in the hospital, I think in part because God said, "You need to rest, buddy, and I'm going to see that you do." How about you? Last week, I asked you this diagnostic question. Did you work hard this week, or did you hardly work this week? Now I want to ask you a different question. Have you rested well this week, or have you hardly rested this week? Because God cares about our rest. He doesn't just care about our work. He does care about our work. We're learning that, right? But He also cares about whether or not we rest, how much we rest, and the quality of that rest that we get. Do you ever think about that? That God cares about rest? A few weeks ago, I read you a part of a question that came in to me on the survey sheets. Here's the rest of it. It says, here's a work-related question for your sermon series. How do you know when you're working hard enough or long enough to please God? If I get tired, is it okay to stop and rest? I have found myself very convicted since the beginning of your sermon series. God has given me a lot to look after. I love and get pleasure from my work, but I find it hard to let myself rest knowing Master is watching. That's a really good question, isn't it? Last time we talked about it, we answered it by saying, the good news is that we don't work to earn our salvation or to earn God's pleasure. Jesus' work is perfect and already reckoned to our account. We don't have to worry about working enough. He has worked enough for us. But that's just part of it. Here's another part to the answer. Who is this master that's watching us at work? Who is this master who's got his eye on us? What does our Hide the Word verse say? It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Who is your master? It's the Lord Jesus. And He's the best boss there ever was. He cares not just about the quantity and quality of our work, but the quantity and quality of our rest. Here's point number one of three this morning. Your Lord wants you to rest. Your Lord wants you to rest. God doesn't just care about the quantity and quality of our work, but the quantity and quality of our rest. And the first place we're going to see that is where He includes rest in the Big Ten. Right? You're going to come up with 10 commandments for holy living. Would you include rest in them? God did. Look with me at Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. And notice both work and rest. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that this message would hit each person where they need it most. For somebody who doesn't rest, that they would hear your heart about rest here. For somebody who needs to be encouraged in their rest, that they would hear your voice and your words speaking to us about that. For somebody who needs to get a better balance of these things, work and rest in their life, I pray that today would be the day they start. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word. It's holy and perfect. It's inerrant. It's inspired. It's authoritative. It speaks to our lives today. What you wrote to these Israelites 3,000 years ago has relevance for this week in October in 2015. Lord, help us to feel that relevance and to practice it this week. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The fourth commandment. The fourth commandment that God gave His people, Israel, was that they were to cease from work one day each week and set aside that day as holy. They were to work, yes, and work hard, as we've learned, but only for how many days? Six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sabbath. Next week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sabbath. That was the pattern. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. And who was that rest for? It wasn't just rest for the rich landowner, but for all of the workers and everyone in the house. Verse 10 again. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter. You can't say, well, I'm resting, but you guys get to work, right? Nor your manservant or your maidservant, not your employees, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. And that alien there means an immigrant, not something from Doctor Who or Star Wars. Nobody works on that day in Israel. Nobody. It's quiet. What was the penalty for breaking this Sabbath, Shabbat in Hebrew? What was the penalty for breaking the Sabbath in this covenant that the Lord made with Israel? Does anybody know? It was the death penalty. Listen to Exodus 31, 14 through 17. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He abstained from work and rested. End quote. You think the Lord was serious about the Sabbath? We need to be reminded that rest is a serious thing that God cares about. Now, you and I don't live under the Mosaic Covenant today. Of all of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment alone is not repeated in the New Testament as a command, as a binding part of what we call the law of Christ. So you and I, as New Covenant believers, are not under this commandment in the same way that the Israelites were, or in the way that we're under the commandments to not murder or commit adultery. I do not believe that there is one day in seven that is the Sabbath now. This is not the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. But even if the Sabbath day does not continue for Christians, the principle of rest is still there. And the importance of rest is still there. By the way, I'm not going to explain all of what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath today. That would be a different sermon. There's too much to share and still stick with our theme of work and rest. But if you're interested, I've written a little article about the Sabbath in the Bible, and especially what it means for us today, and I'm going to repost it on my blog and the church Facebook this afternoon. It's called The Gift of My Rest. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that it raises for you, because I know there will be questions that come from this. The point I'm making here in taking us to Exodus 20 is that God cared enough about rest that He encoded it into the Mosaic law. Law. With a death penalty. The Lord commands that His workers rest. Do the best employers include rest in their plans for their employees? The best ones do. Days off and vacation days and, for some lines of work, sabbaticals. And the best employers actually want their employees to take the rest that they offer, to come to work rested. And guess what? Our Lord Jesus is the best boss there ever was. Hear me. Your Lord wants you to rest. It's not optional. It's a part of His will for you. He gives rest to His people as a gift, and He even commands it of them. It's a Christian duty to rest. It's an obligation. It is required of you. He gives rest to His people and even commands it of them. So here's a way of thinking about it this morning. Sometimes your job is to rest. I know that sounds a little like, which is it? No, it's both. Sometimes your job, your mission, and choose to accept it, is to rest. On one level, no one can escape it. We all have to sleep. We run up against a wall and bam, we're down, right? God has programmed it into our bodies that they require rest. And the same is true of our brains. But we can push and push and push ourselves and deny ourselves the rest that God wants for us to take. Is it hard for you to rest? The slacker says, no, it comes easy. Thanks, I'm good. But the workaholic says, I don't have time to rest. I'll rest when I'm dead. You hear that one? I'll sleep when I'm dead. Or I don't enjoy resting. I'm not good at it. It's too much work to rest. That's what I often say. I'm not good at resting. It takes too much work. Well, sometimes your job is to rest. To play. All those feasts in the Old Testament, there's only one holy day that included fasting. In the Old Testament, all the other holy days were feast days. They were play days. They were commanded to put out a big spread, kick back. To cease your work, to say, work, okay, done. I'm not doing any more. It is time to rest. To lay down what you've been laboring at and take a break. God did. Did you catch that? There in verse 11, and how it was repeated with the death penalty in chapter 31. Why was Israel supposed to rest? Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You know, if rest is good enough for God, then it maybe is good enough for you and me too. So that never resting is a sin. I was talking to a pastor friend a few weeks ago, and he said that he never takes a day off. He loves his work, so he never stops. He takes many breaks and a portion of several days here and there to do stuff with his family, sure, but he doesn't take a day where he ceases work. And he asked me what I thought about that. And what I said was, sounds like sin to me. Now, I'm not his judge. I'm not his Lord. He asked me what I thought. In the end, that's between him and his master. But I know how his master feels about rest. It is required. It is requested and required. Now, some of you, I can hear you. You have a tender conscience. And now here's another thing for you to feel shame about. Oh, no. You're right. I don't rest enough. I can't do anything right. Friends, don't forget the gospel. Don't forget that Christ's perfect track record of resting is reckoned to your account as well. Because you belong to Jesus, you don't have to get this right to be justified before God. You can rest on Christ's rest. But don't skip rest because Jesus got it right. Obey. Think about that for a second, about Jesus' rest. Jesus rested. God rested after creating, but think about all those places where we see God incarnate resting. When He's in the boat and He's sleeping, right? He's so tired. He goes to sleep and there's this storm going on. He was so tired and He just rested. About the time when He's at the well, right? It says that He sat thus, like, bam, Jesus just sat down, just whipped. Or when He's off partying at the wedding, right? At Cana of Galilee. They're having a great time. He's not running around being the Messiah and preaching. He's kicked back and enjoying the party. Or when He gets off by Himself to solitary places, where it's just Him and God alone. He wasn't all work and no play. That would make Him a dull Messiah. He worked hard, but He also rested. And He did it perfectly. And He wants us to work and rest as well. So how are you doing at this? Are you resting? Sometimes it's your job to rest. Are you doing that? Are you doing that part of your job? Do you take time off from work? Do you use up your vacation days and use them to rest? Do you plan in enough time to sleep? Do you take breaks? Now, I'm asking you that. What if I asked your family that? Because I think I rest. But my wife says I don't. And I'm sure she's right. She sees what I don't see. Your family needs you to rest. What would they say about your rest ethic? We talk about work ethic here in the U.S., and we need one, a Christian work ethic. But what about your rest ethic? Do you have that? Our culture doesn't say we even need one of those. Don't worry about it. Just take care of itself. Or live for the weekends, yeah. But what about rest? I can't tell you how much or when to rest. I can't solve that for you. But I can tell you that your God cares about it. Do you feel that? Or is your sole picture of God a slave master with a whip held up to his ear, ready to crack it behind you if you slow down? I think that's how some of us see God. I believe that some people think they're resting, but they aren't. It's good to figure out what really is resting for you and what isn't. I mean, for some of you guys, a trip into the woods with a bow or a rifle is really restful. Do I get an amen? Yeah. I've seen some pictures, too, of some nice bucks got this last week in archery season. It's really restorative for you. Praise God. For me, unless I actually fall asleep while hunting, which has happened, it's not very restful at all for me. It's more like work than work is for me. I'm still trying to learn how to do it right, but the effort of hunting isn't very revitalizing for me yet. Now, taking a long hike is. Rest is not always sleeping, but it's always ceasing from work for a period of time. And you know what that requires? It requires faith. Your Lord wants you to trust. Your Lord wants you to rest, and to do that, you're going to need to trust Him. Do you find it hard to rest? That probably indicates a faith issue, a problem with unbelief. Do you remember the manna in the wilderness? Yes? No? Manna? Familiar? Okay. It's that supernatural bread from heaven that God provided for the people of Israel. How many days were they supposed to collect it? What was the rule? 6 days, right? Oh, sounds familiar. And on the sixth day, there was going to be double the amount. Why? Because on the Sabbath, they weren't supposed to work. Was there going to be enough food on the Sabbath day? There was. Why? Why did he do it this way? It was an object lesson, wasn't it? Yes, God wants you to work for your daily bread. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. But no, you are not responsible ultimately for even your daily bread. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we work for it. One day a week, you stop working. But on those days, God still provides. Is that hard for you to do? It's hard to stop and just trust God. But we are not our own saviors. In the Deuteronomy version of this, of the Ten Commandments, the Lord emphasizes not His own example of rest at creation, like He does in Exodus, but the fact that the Israelites used to be slaves in Egypt, but now God has rescued them with His mighty right hand. So now they rest. Do you see the logic in the Deuteronomy version? You didn't save yourself by your own mighty works. And one day a week, I want you to remember that by not working at all. Remember instead how I worked. So some people need to repent of laziness. Amen. But others need to repent of busyness. I'm talking to myself here. When we work without Sabbathizing, we exhibit unbelief in the goodness and love of our Lord. The best scripture to teach this is the one that Marilyn put on the front of your bulletins. It's Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Would you turn there with me? This is a psalm that was written by Solomon, actually. We think of Solomon as the Proverbs guy, but here's one of his psalms. And he starts it like this. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. Do you hear some familiar key words in there that we've seen? From Ecclesiastes, that word vain, vanity. And the word toil from Genesis 3 and also in Ecclesiastes. Toiling and vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Is it wrong to build a house? No. Is it wrong to work hard at construction? Of course not. But ultimately, it's not up to our hard work whether or not the house gets built. Work all day long, every day. And if the Lord is not in it, that house will not be built. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. We act like it is. We act like everything's up to us when we don't rest. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. You could have one watchman. You could have two watchmen. You can circle the city with 200 watchmen or 2 million watchmen. But if the Lord doesn't watch over the city, your city is toast. It's not up to you. See, we're supposed to do our part. But then we rest and let the Lord do the rest. When we don't choose rest, we act as if everything is up to us. Look at verse 2. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. You work and you work and you work and you work some more. You act like the fate of the world rests on your shoulders, but yours are not those shoulders. Instead, God grants sleep to those He loves. He gives rest as a gift. Now, if you have the NIV, you see a footnote there for an alternative translation of verse 2. One I think is a more likely translation. On that reading, it would read, "For while they sleep, He provides for those He loves." We know that God doesn't always grant sleep to every believer, at least every night. I think that this verse is saying that even while we rest, God works. You leave it in His hands. Do you need to hear that today? Some of you do. Others of you don't. You're good at this. But some of you need to hear this. He's got this. He's got this. He wants you to trust Him. When you rest, you're exercising faith in the Lord. Because He's always working. Six Psalms earlier in Psalm 121, it says, He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Somehow, even when God rested on the seventh day, He still kept up the work because the creation continued. And right now, He doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't fall asleep at the wheel. When you're asleep, He's still taking care of business. So you and I can sleep. It doesn't all rest on you, so you can rest. Are you trusting Him? Or are you working like He can't be trusted? Think about who your Lord is. It's Jesus. He's your shepherd. Remember that shepherd of Psalm 23? The shepherd of Psalm 23 is your boss. Think about it like that. That description of someone that takes you to lie down in green pastures and leads you to drink beside quiet waters and who restores your soul, that's your boss. That's your Lord. You can trust Him. You can rest. Every week we've been recognizing the hard work and celebrating a different group of hard workers in our congregation. Today, I'd like to have the homemakers stand. If you are currently a homemaker or are a retired homemaker, I'd like to ask you to stand and be recognized. Whether you have had kids in the home, never had kids, you're a homemaker, that's your job, is making the home for your family. Would you stand? Thank you. I picked homemakers today because they never get to rest. Especially if they have kids in the house and the kids are little, they almost never get a break. It's sleepless nights followed by sleepless days and sleepless nights some more. Verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 127 describe how children are a blessing, right? Those arrows in the quiver of the guy, right? Children are a blessing, but they're a very tiring blessing. Especially when they're little. And you ladies do an amazing job of caring for them so well on so little sleep. Hardest job in the world. Guys, if you have a homemaker in your house, make sure you're finding ways to get them rest. Make it your job to see that she gets the rest that she needs. And that includes not just sleep, but also time away from the kiddos. Date night, guys. Girls' night out. When you watch the kiddos. Whatever it is she needs, because her job never ends. One more point this morning. It's number 3. One of the reasons why our rest is not very restful is because we leave the Lord out of it. Number 3, your Lord wants to be in your rest. Your Lord, He wants you to rest. He wants you to trust Him and rest. And He wants to be included. In fact, He wants to be at the very center of your rest. We're not supposed to ever rest from the Lord, but with the Lord. I think that's one of the reasons why our rest is not restful sometimes, because we aren't doing it with our Lord. The original Sabbath day was to be a day of rest from work, but also a day for worship. What kind of day was it supposed to be? He made it holy. Set apart. Turn with me briefly to Isaiah 58. And the Lord is explaining in Isaiah 58 through Isaiah what genuine fasting and genuine resting, genuine Sabbathizing is supposed to be like. Scan down with me to verse 13 and see these promises. Isaiah 58, 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day, just whatever you feel like. See, sometimes rest is, well, whatever I want to do. He says, no, including work. No, if you keep from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, resting for and with the Lord is delightful, and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way, that's sin. Sometimes we use our free time for sin. Our leisure activities might make the Lord blush. If you do as you please, and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy where? In your rest? In the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see the joy of the Lord there? Do you see that the Sabbath was meant to be the Lord's day? Resting is for God, just like working is for God. Don't do it without Him. Don't do anything on your day of rest, on your vacation, on your holy day, on your holiday, on your break time that you don't want to do with Him. Take your breaks with Jesus. Here's the difference between employers. Your other employers, you don't want to see them on your rest day, right? But with this employer, you do. The Lord wants to be in your rest. That's why Christians worship on their day of rest. We generally call Sunday that day of rest, the Lord's day. Not quite the same thing as the Sabbath, but built on a principle there. That's why we gather on a Sunday and we make it a priority to be with one another and to meet with Jesus. The Lord wants to be in your rest because He's the one offering it to you. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Yoke to Jesus? We're going to do work. But He says, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, friends, I know that this sermon raises more questions than it answers. Some of you are wondering now about the Sabbath. How does that work now? Read that article that I'm posting this afternoon. I'd be glad to talk with you about it more. Some of you want to rest more, but you're not sure how. Practically speaking, how does this look if you're a second, third, or fourth grader, like we've been saying each week? What does rest look like for you? Probably looks like naps and play. And lots of play. What does it look like if you're a college student? What does it look like if you're unemployed or disabled or retired? How does this work out if you have to work two or three jobs just to make the ends meet? What does rest look like for you? How do I work at my resting to improve it? How do I truly stop working and let rest be rest? I don't have all the answers for you for those particular questions. I don't have all the answers for me for those particular questions. But I believe the answers are out there if we seek them. What I can say is that God cares. He cares not just about the quantity and quality of your work and whether you show up for that with all that's in you. Work heartily as unto the Lord, not for men. But the quantity and quality of your rest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. You have a pattern like that in your life? He cares enough to request and require us to rest. He cares because if we do, He gets the glory. We labor in vain if we try to get up early and stay up late and leave Him out of the equation. He cares because He wants us to experience everything good that He has for us, which includes green pastures and quiet waters. He gives to His beloved in their sleep. While we're resting, He keeps working for us. And the biggest thing He's giving in our rest is Himself. So I know that I need to repent of my busyness and get busy learning more how to rest in Him. You too? Let's do it together. Let's pray. Father, I pray for anybody who has not yet ceased their work to try to impress You and rested on the finished work of Christ. The Sabbath reminded the Israelites that you had saved them by your mighty right hand. They hadn't done it themselves. And we need to be reminded that our salvation is by rest. It's by faith and not by works, so that we can't boast, but that you get the glory. I pray for anybody here who has not yet trusted in Christ's perfect work, that they would do so now. That they would receive Jesus' perfect track record of both work and rest on their behalf, and be forgiven of their sins and granted eternal life. Would you do that in somebody's heart right now? To cease striving and know that you are God, to rest all of their faith and all their trust in Jesus. Would you do that in some heart right now, Lord? I would love to hear about that. How you changed the direction of their life forever and ever. Because they've stopped trying to work for their salvation and trusted in your perfect gift. And because of that, Lord, we know we can rest. So I pray, Father, that all of us would be getting this balance right, or better, of working hard when it's time to work, and resting well when it's not. Lord, some people here need repentance in this area. I know I do. To think it's up to me, to act like it's all rests on my shoulders. I pray, Father, that you would grant that repentance in hearts this week, and that with intelligent repentance, we would grow in our ability to cease working and put things in your hands. I pray you give us that faith. And I pray, Father, that in trying to do that, we wouldn't leave you out of the equation. But we would rest with you and rest on you and find you as our rest. Because the Sabbath is no longer a day. Now the Sabbath is a person. The Sabbath was a shadow, and the reality is Jesus Christ. We pray it in His name.